From the Landing Strip Studios, it's the 296th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
This is Travis.
No, you're Arnold.
Arnold.
The one time I get it right.
The one time you get it right. God damn it.
I thought I'd spend enough time inside this
room. Well, yeah.
Welcome to the super secret location on the corner of the airport in Glencrest.
Don't tell nobody. Yeah. You got yourself a new pad.
Yeah, man. It
looks boss, dude. Look at this.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Crunchless.
Staying when Bianca kicks me out.
You're short enough, you'll fit on
the couch. Look, see, bagel bites included. Look at that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a fancy AF, as the kids would say.
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you for having us over at your brand new digs. We very much appreciate it. We may have a few other episodes from here from time to time. I don't know. We got stuff to figure out. But, hey, it looks good, and it looks good on the camera, and it was easy to get to. So, yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. So, if anybody is joining us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. You can interact with us on right here if you log into your Google or YouTube account. And I will see you pulled up here in the live chat. And you could basically ask us questions, talk shit, fact check us, just say hi, whatever. If I see it here, I'll try to include you in the show as best as I can. Now, if you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or on the Instagrams, Houston Wrestling Radio, all together one word. So, oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button and click the notification. That way you know next time when we come on live next week, which is usually every Wednesday around 8-ish.
8:05.
8-ish.
Day one, 8-ish.
Yeah, Central Standard Time, because we're in Houston. So, that's that. Ta-da! All right, guys. So, what do we want to start off with? I'm going to chew on my bagel bite.
What's NXT it? Champion, Tommaso Ciampa.
Yep.
Arnold, since you're not chewing, what's the first thing that went through your head?
Blowing my load early on match of the week pick. God damn! Holy balls, dude. That match was good. The spotlight on Facebook, fuck you very much for spoiling this for me 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so as I got home 2 weeks ago from the podcast, get on Facebook, oh, Tommaso Ciampa is your NXT champion. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. You fuck. So for 2 weeks, I've just been stewing. Like, God damn it. I know what's going to happen, but I guess I'll watch it. It's kind of like when you knew Kenny Omega and Okada were about to a draw.
Right.
You still were going to watch the match because you were like, fuck it, it's going to entertain me. God damn, this match more than entertained me. Not a slow start, but not a fast start. It was kind of like a okay, good pace, you know, start. And then it just got better and better and better. It just escalated that by the time it was over. Oh man, my pants were off.
Oh my.
To be fair, I wasn't wearing pants to begin with. Nonetheless, my pants were still off.
You put them on and you took them back off.
I took them back off. Yes.
It was that good.
Man. God damn, it was so good. I don't know how I feel about Aleister not being the champion anymore. The reason why I asked you last week, it was kind of like I was trying to almost spoil you last week, asking, would he be considered a transitional champion? He did defend it once successfully already.
Right.
But fuck, man, I feel like WrestleMania just happened.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I'd say that Aleister's a transitional champion. I'm not ready for that, but his reign was a little
this
short.
This is delicious, by the way. This beer from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Damn, negative split.
If you
from co-op.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Cock-a-lot.
Yeah.
I'll take the crab juice.
Yeah, I mean, I was spoiled too.
Yeah.
So that sucked. You know who wasn't spoiled? Randy. My wife Randy. She wasn't spoiled.
The one that lives on the social medias.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't get spoiled somehow.
You gotta spoil your wife every once in a while, man.
Yeah, I know, right? I need to.
We broke up.
We wound up watching it again the second time today because I watched it earlier in the week the first time, and I just kind of wanted to see Randy's reaction because Randy fucking loves Tommaso, or excuse me, Aleister Black.
Mm-hmm.
When Tommaso Ciampa won, she was like, "Whoa!" Like her mouth just fell open, like she was legitimately surprised.
Yeah.
You know, it was insane. It was really cute watching her reaction, and then I just started laughing maniacally. Yeah. The fact that
because you knew,
because I knew, you know, it was my second time watching it.
Yeah.
I would say that it was just as, if not maybe more entertaining the second time than it was the first time.
Mm. Audience only always helps.
Oh god.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good audience. It was hands down my match of the week pick, but then Chris was like, I'm gonna challenge that. You yeah, watch I'm some sure T1 Climax. I don't know. We watched the thing that you said was probably the best from G1 Climax. I think it was pretty darn good, but something could have changed it to make it even better than this match for me. But I'm sticking with this. This right now is my match of the week pick. Ciampa versus Black. Chris, say your piece, sir.
I think by the end of the night, the one thing that edges this match out might also be my biggest flaw of the match. I think there was too much involvement from Gargano.
Too much?
Really? I thought it was like just the right amount.
A part of me thinks that that Ciampa could have won it without anything. But at the same, it feels like you're putting in a situation where Aleister's kind of being shoehorned into the biggest storyline in NXT, where Aleister Black,
yeah,
your heavyweight champ, the guy that 6 months ago everybody was like, oh my god, Aleister Black, that's right, my dude, let's all cut wrists together. Now he's like he's an afterthought to this. He's the Shawn Michaels to the Tyson and Austin from WrestleMania 14.
He's the CM Punk to the Shawn Michaels and Jericho feud.
Yeah.
Took the belt from there, they need it more than you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only flaw I have. Yeah. But it's not big enough. I mean, that's gonna be my match of the week pick too. It helps that all that story from Ciampa and Gargano bled into it. And the beef on Twitter, if you guys haven't noticed.
Yeah.
That was at one point in the match, Aleister goes, put this on Twitter, and bam, kicks him so hard and echoed. Yeah. You hear the reverb in the damn Full Sail. I like the pace. They felt each other a little bit out, but it didn't take too long, and then they just started hammering stuff out.
Yeah.
Ciampa doing heelish Ciampa stuff, right, you know? I think this was the evolution of Aleister Black. You watch him a year and a half ago, got his hands behind. Mm-hmm. He's like waiting for the first move.
Strikes every
this time, time. Aleister was like on point. He was instigating.
He was just going along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And grappling for somebody that the last year and a half has been known as a pure striker.
Mm-hmm.
So it added more elements to Black that I'm surprised it took this long to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, yeah, that's my match of the week.
Yeah, that was really good, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it. All of us have this of a match of the week. While we're still on the subject, yes or no, thumbs up or thumbs down? Is this match of the year candidacy worthy or not? All right, 1, 2, 3. I said 3, Chris. 3.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, hot dog, we have a wiener.
I got on the fucking chat real quick. I was like, match of the year candidate, man. I was done watching it. Fuck, it was good. It was so good.
Put it on the list.
I'll preface this by saying the hesitation.
Okay.
Another perk of actually getting this new spot is I got internet here now.
Yeah.
So I usually watch NXT and Lucha Underground like today. Like the day we record. I'll watch NXT during lunch.
Yeah.
And I'll watch Lucha Underground at home. I saw this like Saturday.
Yeah. That's what I
even after I already knew that I was spoiled, because mm-hmm. I knew 2 weeks ago also. I never said anything. I was just for once I wasn't gonna be spoiled with Joe.
I almost spoiled you guys.
and so I watched it Saturday. A lot happens to Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I might have to rewatch it again once we break down the nitty-gritty in the match of the year month.
Right.
And see if those butterflies are still there.
Well, I'm gonna tell you how I feel about this, at least. Right now, as opposed to how I think I'll feel at the end of the year. And it's match, which is, it seems like Aleister's kind of an afterthought. telegraphing what may happen. If this continues, I'm going to be like, all right, this is a stronger candidate than what I thought it was, which is how this affects Alistair as a champion and his involvement in the storyline. If he is the afterthought, if he is the Shawn Michaels or, you know, in the Austin and Mike Tyson feud, and he just kind of goes away real quick, then no, I'm not going to like it as much. But if all of a sudden he gets thrown into that mix, and all of a sudden we have a legitimate three-way competition between, you know, the pure good, the chaotic evil, and the true neutral, you know, that being Aleister Black, that, then this is going to be fucking awesome if this, like, continues. But if it's, hey, you don't need the title because this is the best feud, and it's just you go do your own thing, Aleister, while these two feud for the belt, then I'm like, all right, that sucks. Well, only time will tell. But if this is the beginning of a badass three-way feud, then I'll probably feel a lot better about this pick come December.
Aleister has his rematch clause.
He does. He does. And that's why I hold out hope. If Aleister has his rematch, but it's because of Gargano that he lost, and, you know, Gargano and Ciampa have all this history, either they're just going to have just a one-on-one, and maybe Gargano gets involved again, or fuck it, just do a three-way right from the get-go at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, or whatever. If somehow this ends up being all three of them, it'd be good. I have another hot take, though.
Uh-oh. Go for it.
I don't think I would mind seeing a tag team between Black and Blackheart. Ding.
You're saying Cesaro?
Well, I'm saying because, you know, Ciampa calls himself Blackheart. That's all that is. I don't mind seeing them as a team because I think their aesthetic is kind of similar.
If you ever see Tommaso Ciampa's report card on the bottom right there, says does not work well with others.
Yeah. But he did work well with Gargano as a face.
Yeah.
Now as a heel, yeah. And if they were a heel team teaming up together, holy fuck, I bet they could put on some awesome matches.
Oh yeah, probably. Keeping up with as I've been keeping up with NXT's like house shows lately.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommaso Gargano and Aleister have been feuding on house shows for NXT. They've been like, hey, fucker, hey, fuck you, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, friend.
Yeah, they've been doing that deal for the past, like, 2 weeks. So, yeah, NXT live events have been pretty badass looking.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into the live event, because I know the holy shit thing you're talking about, Robert, what's up? He's meddling in here. He says,
Cameron's over here. I'm looking over here.
Yeah. He said, I might be crazy, but this is the best world title feud in wrestling right now.
What feud?
It just ended. Ciampa versus Black.
Well, but it is just one match. Black does have his rematch.
Yeah. This technically, I hate to burst Medler's bubble. This is not a feud.
Not yet.
The only reason this happened was because Aleister left TakeOver with the belt and Ciampa left TakeOver as a legitimate number one contender with unofficially. It wasn't announced that Ciampa versus Gargano was for number one contender. It just happened that way.
Yeah.
So this isn't and again, that goes back to Aleister being the afterthought. Like if this was Ciampa versus Gargano and the heavyweight title was involved, this would have been the heavyweight title, the main event title feud already in the last 5 years.
Probably, yeah.
You know, but Omega Okada might gamble there
again. Again, that really depends on what they do from here on.
Yeah,
you know, if Aleister just goes away, man, that's really gonna suck for Aleister fans, which I think all of us can agree we're all Aleister fans.
Yeah,
you know,
I've been ready for. I mean, they teased him on main event last year, so like
they're ready
for him up there, but.
For main event?
Ugh. But it's like a kid who tells Billy Madison he wants to go to high school. Don't do it. stay as long as you possibly can.
Right.
Don't do it.
All right. You want to talk about the thing on the house shows?
Friend NXT? Of the show made his debut.
Woo!
On a TV debut, sort of. Like, they've been airing it. WWE's been posting it on social media.
Yeah.
The king of sit style, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's been sit posting.
Holy sit.
Holy sit, man. Good old Brennan Williams.
Brennan Williams. Houston, Texans, 2013. Third round draft pick.
Yeah. He was an unofficial HWR fourth co-host for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is out on the road with NXT, not just in Full Sail, which, you know, they have house shows too, which he has been doing a little bit. But he was out on the road with NXT house shows.
On the West Coast. He's in Phoenix.
He's
out there.
Yeah, he's got his little entrance music and everything blowing up social media with him. Mm-hmm. Apparently, his new gimmick where he sits down.
Dude.
All right.
You got to get something over. You got 10. You got yes. You know what I mean?
He's got sitting his ass down in the corner.
Yeah, he'll be in the Indies in about 6 months.
I mean, Raven will probably send him a cease and desist pretty soon.
Nah. Raven never did it like that.
Raven's probably too high to fucking realize it. This is going on right now. But
Brandon will be back in ROW by the end of the year.
Aww.
You know what happens when guys get over on their own, right?
That's not necessarily on his own. That could have been something that a road agent came up with or somebody, you know.
Nah.
He came up with it on, or it was come up with during NXT. It wasn't something he did on his own and he brought from, like, the Indies.
Because him and
I woke up one day and all of a sudden fucking Sit Styles a fucking thing. I was like, what the hell?
Brandon,
well, what the hell?
Before Dijak made his NXT debut, them two were tag teaming on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And they were looking like a pretty badass tag team.
They were.
I'm hoping they still can rekindle that sometime in the future. But goddamn.
They saved Dijak for Keith Lee.
That'd be cool. Ooh.
He should be coming up soon.
Or they saved Brennan for Keith Lee.
Oh.
The only thing that I'm kind of disappointed on, this probably be my first time ever criticizing Brennan. I don't know if I like a spear for him.
That's what exactly what I said. I said when I saw it, I was like, oh, so he's utilizing the spear.
It's not like he's doing a bad spear.
No, it's a boomerang spear.
Yeah, it's good.
When he bounces off the rope.
Oh, he does that little football pivot slide.
Oh, okay,
yeah, and then catches him off guard and just does like a quick spear rather than.
It's not bad looking.
No, Brendan, it wasn't.
It looks like fucking amazing stuff.
But that's like what everyone uses.
Yeah, everyone's using a spear.
But we'll see what he actually does. Yeah. I mean, fuck. I'm just so excited for this, man.
Yeah.
I know you guys know I'm friend of the show and whatnot. I have like a not so personal story with him, but still kind of cool like thing with him. Like when he first got signed, I instantly like fucking added him on Twitter. Like, hell yeah, I see the thing.
That was how we started.
And then I saw that he likes wrestling. I was like, oh, cool. Then I remember like saying, hey, you know, I tagged you guys like on Twitter too. Eastern Michigan Radio. This guy likes wrestling or whatever. And then that whole summer it was just like me like mentioning him randomly stuff here and there, and him like liking comments and me getting all. like I'm talking with the Texas player, but after like months of that, it would just become like, this dude Brandon watches wrestling all the fucking damn time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, shit happened with the career, but fuck, man, like it was just cool because he was just like he's such a good dude. Like
he is
just
on high 4 out of 10.
When I would like, you know, when I was just a listener, I would listen to his interviews and I was like, this guy seems like a fucking good ass dude. And like he's been on Up Up Down Down.
His new show Roll Out. Up Up Down Down. They're on episode 2, where basically it's him, Ember, Prince Pretty, and somebody else all playing Dungeons and Dragons D&D. Yeah, and so they're doing it like full on, where you leave, you come back, and you keep playing. So episode 1 was them starting. Episode 2 is them continuing the game.
Wow,
nice. So yeah, that's really cool too.
That's cool, man. Like he's just again, great guy, dude.
Yeah.
Like I have him on Facebook, and he just the post some of the like stuff that he gets tagged in, and just the stuff with him and his family is a good fucking.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah,
dude.
Awesome. But he's gotten too big for his britches. He hasn't come check up on us in a while. I know. I remember what got him on in the first place was my big mouth.
It was.
So what do I got to say now to get Brendan back on the show?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Hey, I want his good side. I ain't trying to get on his bad side. Although I was the one criticizing him using a spear.
Yeah, I love that spear.
Dick!
Fucking Gore? Goldberg spear? Brendan spear.
Ah, yeah.
You sure you can talk with that?
Oh, I've seen a couple tapings of RW. That thing's flopping around everywhere.
Yeah, it's a monster.
Oh, man.
Three legs.
How about Adam Cole and Ricochet?
Hey! Man, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Fucking debuting. I don't even know Tama Tonga got signed by the fucking WWE or NXT. Dang.
No. That was the guy from CWC who did the Falling with Style box.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
the whole Buzz Lightyear flying.
Yes, yes. Maluda. What's his name? Sean Maluta. Yeah.
But apparently we're supposed to give a shit because everybody's related to The Rock now.
Everyone.
Samoans. It's like one huge ass tree.
Yeah. It's easier to just say he's not related to Samoa Joe.
Yes. But I mean, the dude looked pretty decent, you know, whatever. But Adam Cole looked even better, man. Mm-hmm. He just, whenever he just comes out.
That said it perfectly.
Yeah. You see him come out, and if I'm like watching a production, I'm just like, that's a superstar right there, man. He just has it written all over him. He has that charisma, man. Just like, he's like fucking 5'8", but he's like probably like 7 foot tall walking. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah motherfucker, I'm a badass. Waits for everything. He commands the fucking, you know, the
and sales. Now the Full Sail, whenever the song all together, they go boom. Oh, and he's that shit eating grinning at when everybody did. He's like,
yeah,
I know, I'm the cop of the walk.
Solid match. And then fucking Ricochet is gonna, you know, we're gonna face him for the North American title at SummerSlam, I presume.
Take over.
Whatever. That thing. And then you had the fucking the rest of the goons, the Undisputed Era, come out.
Hired goons.
And then you had what was it?
War Machine.
They came on there like jump.
Dude, I saw that promo video last week. He told me about
it. Oh, it's so good.
Wow, I'm all in now. Oh, they're gonna be such good Undisputed Era food. They're not winning shit, but goddamn, they're gonna look cool losing. Yeah, it'll be cool losing.
They're losing the triple threat tag team matchup.
Yeah, because Mustache Mountain snuck up behind.
Mustache Mountain,
Mustache.
I thought Trent Simmons' leg broke off last week, but apparently he's fine.
Yeah, he's all right. And he dyed his hair to make himself look older and more like a father figure.
Yeah, because my dad's 10 years older than me.
Yes.
Anyway, we digress.
I'm not that much older than
you.
No. But he does call me daddy.
Bet.
Only in the PM.
Ding.
Undefeated. Man, these girls gonna learn today.
Undefeated.
Bianca Belair, one word.
Undefeated.
That was too easy.
That was too easy. Yeah. No, that was awesome. I love the fact that I don't know if it was Bianca herself, kind of found her voice just like out of nowhere. I was afraid she was going to be somebody, and oh man, I was afraid she was going to be kind of Leo Rush-y, where Leo Rush kind of sucks on the mic, but they're giving him like this big charisma, you know, gimmick.
In NXT or right now in 205?
Right now in 205.
A fan of Leo Rush in 205?
He sucks on the mic. He sucks. Like, his character sucks. And I mean,
he's not the finest.
Oh,
but he's good. That's been my new thing all week.
It's not the finest.
Not the finest.
Shit. But yeah, I was afraid that they were going to do the same kind of thing with Bianca, but no, Bianca's owning it. Holy shit. And that promo made me a believer of what her character could be, and what her promo could be.
Or like, her future could be.
Yeah. Like, I already knew she has it with the gimmick with the hair. She has it with the actual wrestling. She has a pretty buff physique and look, which is a little bit different from the other girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just looks fucking stout, you know?
She deadlifted Candice LeRae.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, she's got all this other stuff, but I don't know if she could talk. Nah. Mm-hmm. She can talk.
Holy she ain't shit. Talking. She's preaching. Yeah. That's not her learning how to be a character. That's her preaching. That's her being herself. That's her on the streets.
Yeah. My word for her is over. She's over immediately, and she's over the first little crop of NXT girls. She's over Dakota. She's over the lady.
Lacey Evans.
She's over that little crop. She's already.
So she's in the middle.
All she has to do is wait to see who wins between Shayna and Kairi. And that's her next feud. Ding. That's it.
I would test her by putting Bianca Belair against Nikki Cross. If she can survive Nikki Cross and look good against Nikki Cross, which Nikki isn't an anchor, she'll do her best to help you out.
Yeah,
if you look good against Nikki Cross, she's next. Yeah. And I like the fact that, and I've said this again, Bianca doesn't care if you're a good guy or a bad guy. She hates all of you equally.
Yes.
My word, I'm a Trump you Price is Right style. My word is over EST. Over-est.
She's over-est.
She's the over-est right now out of all the girls in NXT. And Shayna's coming, Baszler's coming along on the mic. She's coming along in her rework.
She is.
Kairi Sane's cute. But right now, dude, the person that I want to see on NXT right now is Bianca Belair. I will cancel my subscription to the network if she is not on the Evolution pay-per-view.
Oh, oh fuck. Sure. Okay. All right. All right.
I'll get one, then cancel it. I'm kidding. I've always had them.
Oh man,
I'll make a new one and it got
to that one. Well, okay, we mentioned Shayna there, that Shayna's coming along, and I think she is coming along with the promo side of things. What do you think about their little promo on NXT?
It was good, but I felt like it was like a minute too long. Like it was they made their point. I felt like they just said it again. Kairi, I feel like she just restated what she had already said, which it her English isn't as bad as Asuka's. I'll give her that. It's better. And she's much more adorable than Asuka. Asuka's just like, oh fuck.
Like, oh, she's going to fuck me.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Asuka's like, no.
And like, you know, Kairi, you're like, oh, no, come here, Kairi, come here. You're so cute. Yeah.
Yeah. But what stood out to me more than that is, shouldn't, but it did. It was Candice. Candice coming out and, you know, saying, hey.
Afterwards. Yeah
afterwards. Like,
my name was in your mouth. What the hell?
Yeah. So who knows what will come of that?
Yeah.
They still have to pay off that feud from the fucking Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That stands out. Not the finest.
God damn.
That was the first example of WWE reminding me that they have trouble trying to put over talent from Japan. That promo just felt like, oh, this is how we want every Japanese wrestler to sound like when they're on WWE television.
Yeah.
They just know enough to survive on the streets. They don't know how to speak English.
Yes.
That promo felt like it lasted too long because all she had was that one line that was so repetitive. Nakamura at least now enunciates, has a message, has some sentences, and has a fucking point. Kairi Sane sounded like a scratched record. Like they couldn't give her anything else.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that hit me at the end of that promo.
I kind of want them to just own the fact that sometimes you have, as a global company, you're going to have competitors that deserve to be in your company that don't speak English.
Io Shirai is going to have a fucking hurdle to jump if they wind up keeping her full time on television.
Why is that so bad? Like, if you're going to be this global company, you're going to have some people that don't speak the language. Like, that's just how it's going to work out. Don't be ashamed of it. Fucking own that shit. Just, you know, have a mouthpiece. Have like New Japan has. When you have guys cutting promos in English, you're going to have fucking subtitles on there, you know? When you have guys.
Americans don't want to read.
We do it with New Japan when I was gonna say on the
MAGA, my wrestling has no subtitles.
On the flip side, when New Japan, when somebody goes in there and he cuts a promo in Japanese, you get subtitles in English.
This isn't the 80s anymore. This isn't Iran number one, Russia number one, US of A, Patui. Oh hell no. Everybody gets their panties in a bunch now. They're not gonna wanna see that. That stuff that we like.
Yeah.
Again, we're the loud minority.
Right.
General audience isn't going to want that shit.
Because, you know, if they do that shit in Tulsa, you know what you're going to hear? You know, USA! USA!
You know
USA.
How long all those crazy graphics on SmackDown lasted.
Oh, that
don't see
terrible.
That shit no more. That nobody wants to read. He just called it. Nobody wants anything other than...
I was elected to lead, not to read.
Dang.
Fucking Wolf Castle. That's it for SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown.
Whoa.
That's it for NXT. Yeah.
Good lord.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Let's. Because Brock Lesnar sure as fuck don't watch Raw. Why should I watch it?
Yeah,
exactly. I fell asleep through it.
Monday Night Rollins t-shirt right there.
I watch with Rollins.
Oh, Rollins.
Tell me about Joe and AJ.
Hold on. I need to go wring out my panties.
I watched that promo twice. Literally. I watched it. My wife and daughter were, you know, they were in our room watching TV, and I was in the living room watching wrestling because I'm a fucking loser.
Right.
So
right.
So I was watching it. It ends. That promo was over. I was like, damn, that was a really good promo. And I remember currently, I posted it on Facebook. Currently, my daughter's favorite wrestler is Samoa Joe. Every time she's like, and then she just
Godzilla.
It's Joe. Joe. He's angry. He's angry. Like, she fucking loves Samoa Joe. And everyone loves Samoa Joe.
If Penny answers, yes. Joe was in the movie Inside Out.
Ah, yes. Angry. So, I finished watching it, right? I go instantly to bed to watch it, you know, again in my room and show Penny. And Penny does the same thing. Joe. My wife's kind of like half asleep. This is late. He's kind of half asleep. She just keeps turning around every single time he says one more thing. She's like, And then he says something else. Like, she just, like, he kept, like, bamboozling her, like, blowing her mind over how far he was taking it on this promo.
Yeah. Your family going to be cheering for me.
Yes. Dude, there's, like, the picture of, like, you know, like when Caveman fucking first started fire. And it's a picture. It's a Samoa Joe cutting a fucking promo. Christ, dude. Holy fuck, that man can talk. Give that guy the belt.
Yeah.
Don't even have the match. Just give him one. He's already dead. He's dead already.
Just stop. Wow. I hate that in this episode we're like agreeing with each other a whole lot week. But I have to agree that promo. You know what? I'm gonna bring it back. We haven't done this in a while. That is my segment of the week. Segment of the week. Holy shit, that promo, dude. I love the psychology behind it. I love the delivery of it. When Joe first went out there and he was like halfway sitting on a stool, like a after school special, let me rap with you kids. You know, I was like,
he was just like, oh, fat ass. Stand up
alone in 5 minutes. I was like, nah, this ain't gonna work, man. This ain't gonna work.
He already has a towel to wipe his sweat. He's gonna sit his ass down too.
But
by the end of the promo,
it added a little something to it. Like,
I had to sit down.
I think I've been having this all night. Like,
it did add a little something to it. And he was just, for the amount of fucked up shit he was saying, he was so calm saying it. So matter of fact.
He had a Negan vibe to him.
Yeah.
Like, he was like cold, calculated, and like likable somehow.
Yeah. It was good, man.
Yeah. So good.
All right, you Joe-sexual over here.
I mean, what the fuck? Y'all already came in my goddamn dining room table. Shit.
Man.
I mean, it's new to him. Yes. We know. Yes, we've been invested in fucking TNA for a while.
Yes.
I hope the general audience and the casual audience appreciates what the fuck they're getting. Because God damn, dude. Joe Nakamura in NXT, I thought, wasn't going to get any better.
Mm-hmm.
The promos that Joe and Nakamura were doing to each other. And this stuff now with AJ. Oh, man. If they're so steadfast on making Roman the like sports entertainment champion, Samoa Joe needs to be our wrestling champion.
Yeah.
Well, AJ is right now.
He said himself, because he pumped up AJ before he knocked him down.
Which is what you're supposed to do.
He's the reason why. Like, that's the most prestigious wrestling title in the world right now. He didn't say WWE. He said in the world right now.
Right.
Because AJ Styles is making that motherfucker relevant and making it prestigious himself.
So much that he can't fuck his wife. He can't raise his kids. He can't walk straight. He can't do goddamn nothing.
So, yeah.
Are you wiping sweat off of this fucking
floor? Yes, I am. Ooh, I'm happy right now.
You sure it's not diabetes?
Yeah, probably is.
A little bit of diabetes.
Diabetes.
My segment of the week.
Oh.
Is the Enigma being erased?
Ah.
Holy fuck.
There were
so many like twists. Yes. I thought I was watching an Night Shyamalan movie in this goddamn promo.
Mm-hmm.
Nakamura's out there, he's about to beat the shit out of Hardy. Orton's like, hold on a minute, playa.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do it.
Yeah.
And then all right, so Orton starts clear. Orton's ready to get him with the arcade.
Shasta too. Like,
oh yeah. Sick.
Then Orton's ready to give him the RKO. Nah. He's going to pull his legs. Garvin, stomp.
Mm.
That's the one trait of Orton's that I've missed the most because he's never done the Garvin stomp as a face. You can tell. You've mentioned this before. Orton, you did not.
Hate being a fucking
Orton face. Hated being a face. Oh, even a tweener wasn't all Orton. Mm-hmm. He goes out to the ring. He starts clearing shit. He's like, oh, great. He's going to RKO this motherfucker to the table. No.
Because that's what you want.
That's what. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He did it already with the RKO. Then he did it again. By just like wiping out freaking Jeff, like just taking all the pain off, making
his necklace,
humanized his sleeves, everything. He humanized him. in front of everybody, like on the damn corners table. He just laid in there dead. And you're like, where the fuck is this going? And then I found out on the internets with the Z and on the Twitter machine and on the book face and on the chat snap. This guy's thinking about bringing back the Willow character.
Willow!
I don't feel your rain because I have an umbrella.
Dude, please, this don't. Is... That was so stupid.
If
Willow was dumb.
Devil's advocate.
Willow was dumb.
If you brought back Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Broken Matt.
Yeah.
As just... Your Team Extreme, yeah, Matt Hardy. Yeah. That would have been a waste. We've already seen Jeff 1,000 times of Team Extreme Hardy Boy.
Yeah.
If we get a different Jeff, not necessarily Willow, but something completely different than the WWE audience has seen.
Weird. As long as it's not Willow or fucking Itchweed, okay? Yeah, I don't want either
fucking Itchweed.
Yeah. but if we get someone different, something different, some new Jeff. Yeah, I'll be willing to kind of give it a shot. But
this already, what we've been getting the past 2 weeks, I'm not sure what that is, but I like it.
Okay.
The face, the eyes, and all that.
Well, we've seen that in TNA, because that's what he did. He did the eyes on the eyelids, and he would close them, and he'd go walking through the fans, giving them high fives with his eyes closed. Yeah. It was, but we have seen it.
I like it.
Okay. I don't mind that. Willow, no. I do not
Willow
want to see
when
Willow.
He fucking drugged out and was Sting.
No, he was what we see now when he was drugged out with Sting. But Willow was just taking it a step further, just being more bizarre.
But it was a different moveset, was a different fighting style. I think the Swanton was he didn't even use a Swanton, he used a Twist of Fate as a finisher.
Mm.
So it was a completely different, it was not like a creative character, it was something completely different.
Mm. Yeah,
I'm still wondering what Nakamura is doing in all this. I don't want Nakamura to be the afterthought in this, just like we had that conversation earlier.
Yeah.
Nakamura, the one guy everybody that likes wrestling is like, oh my God, they got Nakamura from New Japan.
Yeah.
Orton, like the best I've seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Jeff's actually putting himself in a situation where you can sympathize for him, where he's vulnerable, where you're seeing what the hell he's going to do to counteract this.
Right.
And then Nakamura is just there with the title.
Yeah, because it seems like the shift of power went completely to Randy Orton, even though Nakamura's the one with the title. Randy Orton's telling Nakamura when to hit Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Not the guy with the belt. The guy with the belt's not calling all the shots. But there was that promo that he did, last week? It says, I bite too. Okay, well, then fucking bite. what are you waiting for? I don't know. It's just it's a little awkward on Nakamura's side right now.
Miz and D-Bry.
That's another promo that was like, whoa, okay, you're really going there. That's cool. And I like that Miz kind of got personal, but in a way that still makes sense to his character, which – where he says it through his own kayfabe as a heel, the way he sees it, but it makes sense. He was straight up saying that, hey, you busted your ass for 10 years out on the indies while I was here busting my ass, but I made myself famous in 5 minutes when you couldn't, and you rode my coattails off of talking smack, and like, oh shit, man. Like he's kind of having a couple of good points here and there, So I loved it. It was great.
It's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. This feud has been building and I feel like they can't, I'm glad that they're doing it at SummerSlam.
Okay.
I'm glad that they're not drawing it out like to a WrestleMania. Like Daniel Bryan said himself, the WWE couldn't do. Mm-hmm. He said it himself in the interviews. Like, I wouldn't trust the WWE writers to take this all the way to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're getting this shit out the way right now because it's still hot. It's still, I mean, D-Bry, to me, he's cooled off a bit in the past month or so, ever since the whole Hell No thing.
Yeah.
But he can easily light back up with this feud, with this match, with this everything.
Well, this is a feud that we've been waiting for.
What have we been getting since he got back? Stuff that we've been wanting.
Shit, it's something that we wanted since before D-Bry left.
Yeah.
This is something that's just been teased literally ever since D-Bry debuted in NXT.
Yeah.
When NXT was still fucking game show. Damn, that's how long this thing's been going on. And I think they've had matches here and there, one-offs here and there, but we've never had the definitive feud to make what all of us marks, you know, happy, which is have D-Bry just shove it in the face of The Miz. The thing is, now there's more marks that have come around to Miz, and we're like, you know what? This dude really has paid his dues. No, he hasn't been around a long time. Yeah, he has.
He's been talking to me for damn near a decade. D-Bry had his talking smack moment by telling The Miz straight up, you're never going to be The Rock. You're never going to be John Cena. And then the reports came out today that viewership went down for the second episode of Miz and Mrs. We'll see how long that shit lasts.
Well, I'm waiting for every TV show.
I'm waiting for Daniel Bryan to drop the mic this week to tell him, look, I beat three future Hall of Famers in the main event of WrestleMania. The one main event you had, you were third fiddle to Cena and The Rock.
Yes.
And you got a concussion, so you don't remember it.
Oh, man.
Like the rest of us, we don't remember it either.
That was literally the day before I got back into wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, what's going on? Why is Mike from the real world on WrestleMania? Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed from like 03 to 2011. So I was like, what? I know these guys. Why is he there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cesaro against the Usos.
Match of the week candidate if I hadn't already picked my pick. Damn, that was a badass match. Dude, Cesaro was ripped. He came back like buff, dude. He came back. And Sheamus, too, he's like, more slow to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But spider. Yeah. Yeah. But dude, Cesaro's like, man, he's cut, man. He's like buff. And they look good. The Usos still look good, man. I don't have a bad thing to say about the Usos. Their characters again, so, you know, whatever. It's kind of running its course a little bit.
What about that promo though?
The promo was good until they fucked up the PG part. Said PG-13. Okay. I thought it was cute.
I thought it was cute.
Because everybody's related to The Rock.
Well, they're related to The Rock. But yeah. And they took advantage of it. I mean,
their dad did it for The Rock.
He did it for the people.
He's a bad man.
He is a bad man.
Yeah, but it was good. It was solid. The pancake fucking the tables.
Yeah.
That's my biggest
Big E coming out to Corey Graves. Corey's like, hey.
That's my biggest nit to pick. If they made such an effort,
oh, yes.
They should have just had them on there from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
This is where I disagree. I liked it because that was like production saying, all right, these guys are too much.
Yes.
And that kind of added to that because they're just going, oh, we're going
to go. They kept it going. Like, they didn't even tell them, hey, we're coming back to you right now. They're just like,
they're throwing pancakes to their counters. Like, oh my God.
Oh, it was so good. They made that match so much better.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. But man, they're still not over.
The
New Day's still fucking hype, man. It's been, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
But I did see one thing that I really hope they build on. We talked about this before.
Kofi looking like Velveteen Dream's dad?
That too.
Okay.
Too many heel brawlers. Sheamus and Cesaro did something that face teams do. Cesaro was about to eat one of those dives from the Usos, and Sheamus pushed him out of the way, and Sheamus took it for the team.
Took it. Yeah.
That's a good foundation to build on, because you can't have, what I would think, a heel Bludgeon Brothers against a heel Sheamus and Cesaro. Yeah. Well, if you're going to cheer for anyone, it's going to be for the Odd Couple.
I have said this before, that whenever somebody comes back, whether it's injury or just hiatus or whatever, they're usually a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro coming back. Hey, check it out. Sheamus and Cesaro. Yay.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that thing where, like, when Rollins came back the first time, hey, it's Rollins. Yeah. Hey. It's like, screw you people. You weren't there for me. Like, we haven't got that part yet with Sheamus and Cesaro. So people are still like, it's the bar. Yeah. You know, like, and they're happy about it. So I think they're the babyface here going up against the heel bludgeons.
Is it too far to suggest that they're going to win this tournament, or you still think there's a chance that New Day can actually get one more match?
Bludgeons already beat the New Day, right?
No. Yes. The Bludgeons beat the New Day.
It should be the Bar versus the Bludgeons.
I said this back when New Day first won their qualifying match. I said it's going to be New Day versus the Bar, and so far that's come true. And then Sanity is going to cost New Day to continue that feud. And then, the Bar goes on to face the Bludgeons.
And New Day versus Sanity, legit 3-on-3, but on the main show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did the women's match end up? Are we getting a triple threat at SummerSlam or no?
We're getting a triple threat match at SummerSlam. And
possibly
Becky heel turn.
Becky heel turn.
I love it, dude. I love this I new saw the side promo. Of Becky in general. In the beginning, she was serious. She was all like, on her fucking game. Carmella did the usual thing where you knew she was going to turn on her, but you didn't know how. And then James Ellsworth's music hits, like, oh, and boom. Ah, that's how.
I loved Carmella's promo,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
like, it felt
it
like
sincere.
For a minute, that was not storyline.
That was her in the ring thanking her up front.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Like,
oh, hey, wait, I forgot the red lights on. Bam.
Yeah, exactly. That's how, yeah, I felt that was. And it was woof, right here.
Yeah.
Right here in the feels. Right there. Like, I was like, all right, you go, girl. Yeah, you go. I know that you're going to, you know, stab her in the back because that's, yeah, the storyline. But, man, those.
Yeah, got you.
Yeah, it got me.
Yeah, it was good. But a returning Charlotte who made a fucking run to the ring in heels. And holy fuck, I almost fell watching. I was like, hey! Man, I don't know how. Respect, dude. Respect. But
heel toe. Uh-huh. It's not that hard.
I don't want to know how you know that, but let's go further into this. So yeah, the match was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Charlotte versus Melo, really good match actually.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte won, but you just see Becky ain't happy about it.
Becky was
she
not
did
happy.
The whole sideways looking at TV because that's how I watch TV like this.
Yeah.
So you know, I watch it like this.
I'm glad you thought to do that to the camera.
Yeah, she wasn't happy. And yeah, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be. That was SmackDown.
Yeah. As of right now.
Zelina Vega versus Lana. Fun little match.
Yeah,
fun little match. Fucking Zelina Vega bringing back Aaliyah from Queen of the Damned. That little crown.
Yeah.
That's what she was doing.
I thought she just went to Burger King before.
No. But yeah, dude, she's so tiny.
She is so itty bitty. She's fun size.
Yes,
so
yes.
Are we getting the mega powers breaking up, or are they going to mend the fence?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to know. I kind of like how
I'm enjoying the story, man. Yeah. I'm enjoying the story. I hope that they don't break up. I hope they work it out.
What happens? They break up or Lana finds her accent?
Why does it have to be either or?
I watched SmackDown last night with Travis, and he's like, "Man, Lana without the accent is just another dumb blonde. Like, there's no reason for me to like.
Which
I'm not enamored with her anymore.
Vince loves her now.
What?
Which means Vince loves her even more.
Oh,
Machka.
Talk to me about Gulak and Cedric. Apparently at SummerSlam.
It's at SummerSlam. I don't know if it's going to be on the main show or the
pre-show. It's in
Brooklyn. It's going to be in the same building. It's going to be the same building.
It should. Fuck it. Just throw the cruiserweights on NXT. Fuck it.
The way that the...
half of them are on their job in anyway.
I mean, we had this happen before where they're like, hey, we're going to be at this show, that show, and then they wind up getting bumped down to the pre-show. Sure. That sucks. But the way they're talking, they're making it sound like this match is going to be on the main card. But I don't know. That still remains to be seen. That being said, I kind of like the little contract signing that was held before.
The little contract signing.
Yes, yes. Rockstar's butt. Rockstar's butt. Yeah, because he's little. He's a wee person. And, yeah, they were sitting at a desk signing the contracts. Gulak starts trying to talk, and Sed's having none of it. Sed's like, no. I'm just gonna sign the thing here. Just sign the damn paper, and like that's it. He was like, no, I don't want any shenanigans. But then that's when Gulak was like, well, no. All I was gonna say was, congratulations, you had a really good run. You're good.
You had a good run.
Yeah, well, he didn't. No. That was me paraphrasing.
That still sounds good.
Yeah. That was me paraphrasing.
You put him to sleep, but I like it.
The point that he was leading up to was, wow, you've done a really good job. Being undefeated, they brought that up. He's undefeated in 2018.
Whoa, shit! He's only fought twice,
and that was his point. Mm. He said, "You know what? You don't defend the title. You're not here every week. Guys like me who had to qualify for the match, putting it work week in and week out. That's why I'm the backbone of 205 Live. And you, this was his quote. You're just the Brock Lesnar of 205.
Oh, shots fired.
He done did it.
Wow.
Damn.
And then that's what Sid was like, really? Will you tell that to your friend Brian Kendrick later tonight? And he had a match. And he beat the dog shit out of Brian Kendrick. But Gulak and British boy. What's his name? Got involved. What was the British boy's name? The British guy who was with Brian Kendrick.
Oh, Gallagher.
Gallagher. Ah, Gallagher. Yeah. All three of them on the
game. I haven't watched 205 in fucking years. But yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was good.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm guessing one of the tag team matches and the cruiserweight match will be on the pre-show. That says Robert in the live chat.
The Lucha Party?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, yeah. He said one of the tag team matches, probably, you know, one of the.
I want to like 205, but just. It's the, at the bottom of my like pecking order for shit to watch for the week.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. Ain't gonna do it.
Lucha Underground!
All right.
Try not to go too far.
That's my theme song.
Yes. Yes.
So we had a Gift of the Gods matches.
Multiple matches. That was interesting. So we went from having seven and then, oh no, we're gonna have an impromptu battle royal. So. Whoever wins, you get to kick somebody out of the match. Mac won. He kicked out Mil Muertes.
Okay, why? Cool.
Because I'm afraid of him.
You scare me.
You scare me,
Kukui.
Hey. So now,
Mufasa.
Yeah. So then this week, we were supposed to have the six-way Gift of the Gods match. Antonio Cueto comes out and he says, no, 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 no. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to have three-on-three. The winners get to go on to the Gift of the Gods match in a three-way match, okay? So, you two, you've been a team before, Ivelisse, Son of Havoc. You're on a team. Pick your partner, okay? We picked the Mac. All right, you three versus the other three. Y'all go ahead and fight. Winning team has another match later tonight to win the Gift of the Gods title. Right after. That match was good. The three-on-three was good. I was not expecting... the team that won to win. I wasn't expecting Dragon Azteca Jr., King Cuerno, and Desmond Xavier winning because it seemed like all the story was on the other side of the ring because you had Son of Havoc and Ivelisse and the Mac, and like two of them are former Trios champs, and then the other two are current Trios champs. So it would only make sense to, oh, they'll be in the Gift of the Gods match, and that'll create, you know, some tension between the, you know, all of them. But no, they just straight up lost. Like, what the fuck? Okay. So, because Lucha Underground's highly unpredictable.
Unpredictable is the winner of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I do not dislike Dragon Azteca.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily love Dragon Azteca. I'm hoping he's the first loser.
Okay.
The first guy that cashes in and loses.
Okay.
Because there's plenty of other fish in the sea.
There are. I honestly was expecting King Cuerno to win it.
Yes.
Because of his whole thing where he had the gauntlet, but it got stolen. And so he doesn't have the gauntlet. So he's trying to hunt another trophy. Or maybe he knows that when you have the gauntlet and the Gift of the Gods and you combine them together, maybe it makes a fucking infinity junk club. I don't know.
You already have a built-in feud because Mil Muertes hates everyone because he got kicked out of the match that he earned a spot in.
Right.
Not to mention he's already got a rivalry with King Cuerno over the gauntlet.
Yes.
So that could have been an easy like filler.
And then I thought, well, this is Lucha Underground. So the out of left field off the wall pick would be Desmond Xavier. Brand new guy. They probably just signed him. They were replenishing the ranks. Okay, cool. Let's throw it to the new guy. It wasn't even on my radar that Dragon Azteca could win. Not at all.
None.
But because like they've kind of handled him where he's kind of high profile because he was trained by Rey Mysterio and he's the son of Dragon Azteca who got killed by Matanza. So he's kind of had a high profile storyline, but he's always kind of...
But it's not presented that way.
Yeah. He's always kind of...
There. Well,
no, no, no. The word I'm going to use, it needs to be tempered. But the word I'm going to use is he kind of sucks. But he sucks by Lucha Underground standards, which is still pretty damn good. Yeah. You know? Okay. So in the world of Lucha Underground, he kind of sucked. But
even that's better than half the Raw roster.
Yeah, more than half, almost. So it's like, all right, you know, he's kind of middle of the pack. Like, he's the fifth All-Star on the Warriors. You know, like, yes. He's the Draymond. Okay,
he's the Monstar on the bench.
No, there you go. He's Carmelo if he decides to get off the bench.
Yes, there you go. That's who he is. He's not the best, but he's still on the All-Star team. Yeah. You know, so like when they gave it to him, I was like,
he plays for the Bucks. Yeah, for Sacramento.
Well, what we got over here? Oh, what the hell is this?
Would you look at this?
Would you look at that? Cat drinking milk out the goddamn bowl. Like, I was like, what the hell? So, Lucha Underground, you continue to surprise me. And I'm interested because I'm surprised. That's the only reason why I'm interested in Dragon Lucha Second.
And surprising a wrestling fan is so hard.
Yes. Especially after this shit's already been on the air, been recorded for a while. You Google hard enough, you'll find out what happens this entire season.
Yeah.
And I have not. Yeah. I don't want to. No. This is the only time where I like this is the only company where I don't bother
you're
looking.
Just taking the seatbelt.
Yep. Yeah.
Enjoying the ride.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Eventually. We'll get there. Another sacrifice from Muertes.
Yes.
With a side of pineapple pizza. I know you guys have seen the video on YouTube. The way to properly eat pineapple pizza: you cut it, you pick it up, you drop that shit in the trash can.
Yes. Yes.
Or you drop it on the Aztec seal in the middle of the ring in Lucha Underground. And then you get flatlined on it.
And then you get sacrificed.
You get sacrificed. With the pizza delivery guy that brought it to you as well.
Trying to take the wallet.
He tried to take the wallet. Yeah. So two guys and a pizza got sacrificed to the gods. Okay.
That's happy.
Yeah. I hope so.
This pizza's just a salad. It's just all flat.
Yeah.
And that's Lucha.
That's Lucha.
Yeah.
So news. Do we talk about this at all? Matt Hardy possibly retiring?
Possibly retiring. He posted a picture of himself doing the fucking the little thing.
The version one.
Yeah.
With like the spotlight in front of him. So
his exact
just his
quote
outline.
On it was
thank you to everyone that supported him in those stages.
To all who supported me in the Independence and Omega, to the fans of Team Extreme, to the Mattitude followers, to the Outspoken fans who brought me back in 2005. To the people who backed me when I was reincarnated in pro wrestling, to the Woken Warriors, thank you. And that's pretty random.
That, my friends, is a red herring.
Oh, yes.
Not a blue one.
Because I'm waiting for either Randy or Nakamura to just tell Jeff, you don't got a friend in the world, just for Matt to go one more run. Matt and Jeff against Randy Orton and Nakamura Shinsuke.
Okay.
And then he can go.
And then he can go. All right.
Thumbs up or thumbs down, Matt Hardy is a Hall of Famer in the WWE.
Oh, that's a huge-ass thumbs up. Matt and Jeff both. They're definite Hall of Famers. If the Dundies
that
are
wasn't
Hall of Famers,
the question.
Matt
Thank
by
you.
Himself?
Yeah.
Matt by himself?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a harder question.
Matt by himself.
You have lesser people in it, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either. If you're going to put Matt, you have to put the Hardy Boys
in
there.
Yes, the Hardy Boys, hands down.
Yeah.
But, okay.
WWE buys the
No, right?
WWE buys TNA, and they have the library and the history. And they involve it in the universe.
They're kind of already doing it.
Do you still feel like Matt Hardy alone, it does not warrant, does not cover the Hall of Fame ring?
If you are considering and bring in everything from TNA and maybe even a little bit of ROH stuff and you acknowledge that, then yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But
you know there's gonna be a butt somewhere.
If you
big
don't, which they haven't, and TNA starts starting to be on the come up again.
Impact Wrestling.
Impact, sorry, whatever. It's starting to be on the come up again. and it stays the way it is. Matt Hardy by himself. I'd say no, but then again, there are people of lesser stature. But here's why. Because if you put Matt and Jeff by themselves, that's a travesty to the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys should be in there.
That's a travesty to the young Us Boys, the fucking teenage Us Boys back in the day. Like, you're not going to have not them. You're not going to have Edge and Christian and the Hardys.
Yeah, and same with the Dudleys. You're not going to have the Dudleys and not
that's
them.
What I meant. Out of all the six, Edge is the only one that could you can put say him in there by himself.
That being said, you have to kind of put the Hardys in there. That means you're not going to have the Hardys and Matt by himself and have him and Ric Flair be only two-time WWE Hall of Famers. No, it ain't going to work out like that. You got to put the Hardy boys.
Ken's not going to be the only one. Hogan with the NWO. Bet they're going to put the NWO in there. They have to.
They have to.
So Hogan's going to be two-timer.
Shawn Michaels and DX.
Okay.
Hall and Nash will both be two-timers also because they've already got rings.
Shit, X-Pac could be in all five.
X-Pac is the fucking Robert Ory of the
X-Pac's that guy you're talking about on Lucha, the fucking goddamn. So yeah, he'll be in for DX, NWO, fucking X-Factor with Albert and fucking
Uncle Cracker.
What you looking at?
I got everything I ever wanted.
Being as a 1-2-3 kid and six
and lightning
six
kid.
Pack,
yeah,
six pack,
and Sean Waltman.
Sean Waltman.
And whatever he wants. First thing you think about when I say last Monday's Raw? Either one of you can jump in. Remember, I fell asleep through Raw.
Completely. Oh, okay.
So, what from Raw is what noteworthy? You know, you guys don't have notes.
Brock being bored.
Okay.
I saw the name and saying, "Hey, did you hear what Roman said?" Just said, "Well, he's just like, I don't watch Raw." No, I don't want to. Look, I'll show you the video. Get that shit. He threw his fucking iPhone against the wall. Yeah.
Dad, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm Groot.
Oh my god, dude. That shows you how the state of that fucking championship, man. Mm-hmm.
Which means
he's gonna win.
He's taking that bitch to UFC.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Because remember, Paul Heyman doesn't issue threats, he issues spoilers.
Right.
And he said, it's like I've seen this already. Roman's gonna call him a bitch because that's just what he does. He gets to cash in his, you know, weekly or bi-weekly cuss word.
Bitch in the bank.
Bitch or ass. Yeah.
Open the mouth. Ah.
Yeah. Bitch. Yeah, dude. This is so boring. This is so like, and it's funny because Paul Heyman metaphorically was talking about the WWE when he was talking about Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. By him being the definition of insanity, by trying to do something again and again and again and just for the four and again and expecting a different outcome. You somehow got them both booed in one night. Mm-hmm. They're going to both be booed. You best not. I'm took it this far. You best not have that as a fucking main event at SummerSlam.
It's going to.
However. You
best not.
Because here's what's going to happen.
Oh.
Two guys are going to come out to save the day.
Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens?
No.
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens and
Baron Corbin.
Paul Heyman.
Ooh.
The new Paul Heyman guy is Kevin Owens. Oh, Brock's going to treat me like a little shit? Let me jump to Kevin Owens.
This started the whole, hey, fuck you. You know what, Brock? Kiss my ass. I need this job. You don't?
Give me something interesting. Put Heyman with a guy that does not need a mouthpiece.
Well, he did that with Punk.
Punk, and it was amazing. It was amazing. He got him Taker at Mania.
So then when Brock gets knocked out 15 seconds into Daniel Cormier and he comes back at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens.
Let's not get it twisted. Daniel Cormier fucking sucks. He couldn't beat a coked out John Jones twice.
Well, but Brock Lesnar can't beat a drug test.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's like the blind leading the blind there. If you get hit, it's your own fault. That's what we're getting. I don't know when. November, December, January, February, Super Bowl weekend, I think. So.
All right. Let's stop talking about Brock. I want to talk about the person that all the people were cheering for, which is Roman.
What? Nobody cheered for Roman.
Everyone was cheering for Roman.
Man,
listen. This is what happened. You need to go back and rewatch Raw.
I watched that part.
Yeah. What happened was when Brock was doing all this stuff, his fucking heel turn where he beat up Heyman and all that, which I don't even know if that's a heel turn, everybody started chanting, "We want Roman. We want Roman." And I was like, God damn it, WWE. You did it. You did it to those fucking sheeple, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. It was you, Vince. It was you all along.
Was actually a pre. No, it was Tampa that was dead. Miami was okay. Tampa was dead this week. For SmackDown?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear a pin drop in Zelina Vega in Lana's match.
All right, go, Chris.
Say it.
That was a good promo by Roman.
Yeah.
But you have to hear it without the audience pissing on it like they do every fucking week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The same audience that later that night started chanting, "We want Roman." Yep.
I see what WWE's trying to do. They're making it obvious that you're supposed to boo Brock.
Yes.
Because like you've said, Brock's an asshole. Yes. He's easy to boo.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
He's easy to remind us.
Try.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just let him be himself and you'll hate him.
Yeah. Yes.
But don't give it to Roman. Number one, again, what did Michael Hayes say on that documentary? So Miami liked them. Big whoop. We're not trying to placate Miami. We're trying to placate the world here. Mm-hmm. You don't – he's still not ready. Full-fledged.
Four Mania's main events in, and he's still not ready.
How easy is it for Paul Heyman and Kevin Owens to cut the promo that he still can't get the satisfaction of beating Rome, of beating Brock Lesnar?
On his tombstone.
We've already gotten Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens years ago, ad nauseum. And it was still good, regardless of how the fans were treating Roman. If you do it now, by the end of that feud, Roman could actually be a likable babyface.
I'll tell you when I want to see it. I want to see Roman beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 45. That's when I want to see it.
Like, so in 10 like, years.
Same 11. Thing with Goldberg and Brock. Like, okay, well, Goldberg beat Brock. Oh, fuck. Okay, that was kind of cool. Well, whatever. They're on their way out. Yeah, go on the win. Okay, fine. After 10 years of us saying, yeah, you never beat him. Yeah, I want to be able to keep that thumb over fucking Roman Reigns for his career where it matters. Once he's already old and gray and starting to retire, okay, fine. You get your win.
Yeah.
All right. WrestleMania 52. Book it.
On the moon.
On the moon. Madison Cube Garden.
I see what you did.
Yes.
What else happened on Raw?
What else did happen?
You don't know your family.
Y'all tapping out already?
Yeah, Baron Corbin and Finn Balor fought for like 25 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Two commercial breaks.
Jesus, but you said you didn't watch it.
That's where I fell asleep.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I was like, it wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't a good match. It was like an all right match, like, you know, whatever. And then Baron Corbin beat him because 50-50 booking. And then after that, he just beat the shit out of him afterwards because, you know, fuck, a rising star.
Yeah,
burying him to the ground. He's not American and he's short.
Yeah,
and he plays with Legos.
He plays with Legos,
mm-hmm.
And he likes the gays.
He likes the gays,
and he's banging Kathy Kelly, which is more than Baron Corbin
would
ever get.
That is fine enough for everybody else.
The finest.
The finest. Match of the week candidate.
Yes. Seth Rollins against Nega Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins against
Nega.
Yeah,
Nega Seth.
Yeah. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. That was a fucking badass match until it got ruined by disqualification, which is the fucking goddamn theme with WWE this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah, that match is fucking badass, dude.
All right.
Seth Rollins can fucking take us in the ring and make us look badass.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
all right. Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns. That'll.
Was Ronda there? I don't even remember.
Yeah, Ronda's going to have her first match on Raw next week.
Oh, that's right.
Against a girl who fucking like pissed off her husband on WrestleMania weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Fox. Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it's Alicia.
Yeah, whatever.
Alicia's definitely going to be like a tune-up match for her. And there's not a whole lot invested in Alicia ever.
No.
And that kind of sucks. But that's
she can carry a good match. She was Divas champ for a while. They don't just give that to everybody. Wait, no. Did they just give that to everybody?
They gave it to everybody.
Alicia Fox was champ.
Yeah.
Boston Hug Connection had a match. That was pretty decent.
Who did they fight? Riot Squad. Without Ruby.
Yeah. Just the squad.
Just the squad.
No toucan, just a bunch of loops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raw wasn't that good this week.
Raw was
terrible.
I was gonna say unmemorable.
Elias and Bobby Lashley had a kind of a thing.
Fuck the feud. You tell us how good is that EP?
Good.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
I was like, this is going to be kind of stupid. You know, whatever the bullshit. Nah, man. I was like, yeah, this is pretty goddamn good.
Is that Arnold the wrestling fanboy talking or Arnold the former bassist talking?
Arnold the musician, the 15-year musician saying like, yeah, it's good. Good music. Okay. This game is unexpected. Definite late Cash, Johnny Cash vibes. Ooh. As far as kind of like more spoken than sung.
Okay. American five yes. and six, right?
Yes. Gotcha. That vibe to it. And it was just good. I like it, man. It's like if we were just fucking hanging out at the store or whatever, and they played like one of the songs from there on the buzz, I'd be like, that's kind of different, but old school, but modern. That's cool. I'll go see that dude.
That's like acoustic Casey Elephant.
Yeah, I'll go see that at House of Blues.
Okay.
I'll go see that at House of Blues. Yeah. I'll buy that for $1.
He be Pitbull. Oh, yeah. He was mouthing off Panic at the Disco and Pitbull and
The Rock.
Yeah, and Tinashe and all these other people that he beat on the charts. Yeah, he was up to 18th at one point. Yeah. The last time I checked, he might have gotten even higher than that. But on the iTunes chart, on the soundtrack,
section, as soon as I found out, I downloaded it onto my phone. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm a fucking Mark.
The only one in this room.
Yeah. All right. One, two, but it doesn't count. All right. Chris, you.
What?
What happened overseas in Japan?
Hey. I didn't send this to you, but I sent you and Scott and Trav the video of
I'm the B team, which stands for best.
Tama Tonga impersonating the New Day's promo with a little rap in the middle and making fun of Roman Reigns cocking the fist and all that.
He's been tweeting with him.
Yeah, man. That's an example for me of a team where I don't think either one of them will fail if they do their own thing. Like, you're worried. Okay. Like, the time's going to come. You're going to break the Usos up.
Yeah.
And I think both of them are going to fail.
Okay. You know? If you break them up, they will fail.
There's a lot of brother teams that you don't want to break them up because you don't know if either one of them will make it. Dude, I think both of these guys, Tama Tonga and Tama Lau, they can hang, dude.
Okay.
But damn, match of the week candidate was Zack Sabre Jr. against Kenny Omega that we saw pre-tape. Just as a contender, ruffle feathers, the reason why a lot of our New Japan matches are here aren't so much the story, with the exception of Okada Omega, it's because of what they do in the ring.
Right.
A lot of WWE NXT Lucha, WWE NXT is storyline. Lucha is just like fucking the cinematography of everything.
Yeah.
But what New Japan brings to the table is the sport, the pure fight feel. And that match with Omega and Zack Sabre Jr., Sabre was doing some fucking counters I had never seen.
Yeah.
And they'd only wrestled once before. Yeah. In the entire career, they've only wrestled each other once. So for them to have that match, it did not feel like they've only wrestled once. Mm-hmm. It was a really good match. And for shits and giggles, Tetsuya Naito against Toriyano was fun as shit, too. Normally, Toriyano's the one that's like stalling because he doesn't want to get the shit beat out of him. Tetsuya comes out second, and he waits a while to come out, and Toro's all like, he's in a rush. He's like, let's get this over with. And you can see kind of an edge from the comedian wrestler. And Naito's still like just giving him the business. And then there was points where Yano was actually taking this shit seriously. Takes off that turnbuckle pad and tries to hit Naito with it. Naito does and beats him up. Then Naito picks it up, plays little baseball, he's got the stance and everything. He has a swing and boom. And then Red Shoes grabs it and just like hugs it like a teddy bear. So he makes sure nobody grabs
precious.
It. And Tetsuya takes the win. But it was a fun little buffer match in between because, you know, you just had fucking Minoru Suzuki beat the shit out of somebody. You just had fucking Zack Sabre Jr. turn Omega into a pretzel. Then you had the main event of Kota Ibushi against Hiroki Goto that's going to, like, brawl till you die. Mm. So that little gap in the middle, I'm hoping Cedric Alexander and Gulak is the gap in the middle between something and, like, towards the main part of the pay-per-view. Before they give Divas a chance, they always use that like 5-minute Diva scuffle as the buffer between the two heavyweight title matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could put Gulak and Alexander in there and you can keep the fans awake, but you won't have them spent to where by the time the main event comes out, they're not gassed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's New Japan in a nutshell. Kenny Omega undefeated. He's already got 12 points in the round robin.
Now, that's where you kind of like blew past a lot of stuff there. That's where I wanted to throw in my couple of 2 cents. At the beginning of the show, when we were talking about our now new match of the week candidate, I was like,
match of the year.
match of the year candidate. I said, well, I want to say this about this other match, and that's this particular match, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kenny Omega. Had Zack Sabre won, I may have switched my pick.
What?
If Zack Sabre had
won.
Wow.
It was going
there,
that good.
There was something else that you said in your little tirade there right now, which was, in New Japan, it's more about the wrestling and less about the story. Yes, New Japan's story is pretty straightforward. You kind of know what's going on, and they don't convolute it too much. But I think that would have been the perfect time. Since you're in a round-robin point-style system tournament,
where a loss doesn't necessarily kill you.
Exactly. If Zack Sabre would have pulled that out and actually beat him, that story was like, holy fuck, you had the undefeated Kenny Omega lose to Zack Sabre to get his 2 points. Oh, fuck. That would have been a nice little story and a nice rub and a bump for Zack Sabre Jr. And then, like, oh, shit, somebody got the best of Kenny Omega, you know? Like, yeah. I think that would have been a more interesting story. Now that the story is, he just rolled through another competitor and now he has 12 points.
But y'all missed the part because it happened so quick. He beat him with a roll-up. Yeah, so he's already beaten people with the V-trigger. He's already beaten people with the one-winged angel.
He tried to put him in the one-winged angel like three times. Zack Sabre countered out of it in amazing ways.
And Sabre fucking sold the loss. He was pissed.
I say Sabre can't sell.
You were saying that during the...
Yeah, on the one-winged angel. Like, instead of being like, oh, he was just like, jumping up now. And then just like, yeah. Man, I like him offensively. Yeah. It's kind of like James Harden. I could watch him play offense all damn day. Do not make me watch him play defense.
Just ding. Yes. Go.
There you go. There's a hoop. Give me the ball. My turn.
Capella will get you. Yeah, I got this shit. Yeah.
That's what.
Which we got Capella. Yes. 4 years, 80 mil. 5 years, 80
Mello
mil.
As of tomorrow, probably. Yeah. Sabre was like, offensively, I was like, wow. A lot of the fucking moves he was doing, all the fucking inverted. Calf crusher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that was fucking sick.
He had at one point he had
fucking amazing.
At one point he had a triangle, a heel hook, and an armbar all at the same time.
Three submissions at the same goddamn time. That was impressive. I'm saying offensively,
the armbar that Kenny Omega countered with a one arm power bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
That side of him, the offense is fucking awesome. If he could just work on selling,
emoting a bit,
dude.
Yeah,
didn't we see something similar to that in Lucha? Where was it Cuerno had somebody in an Indian deathlock, but while standing up, and then he caught
it. Wasn't a triple threat,
It wasn't a triple threat, And he caught
Dragon with a full Nelson or something,
Nelson something, That was kind of cool.
You say a TJP did that like last week?
Yeah, he had two different people in a submission move.
Yeah,
it's all the rage right now in wrestling. Yes.
Except for Brock Lesnar.
So
here's the list of match of the year.
Oh shit! So far, what month is this?
We're in August.
February, March, April, May, June, months, July,
how many
August.
Matches?
8 months.
Count them off. Jericho versus Omega, U.S. title, no DQ, Wrestle Kingdom 12. Gargano versus Almas, NXT title match from TakeOver Philadelphia. Golden Lovers against Young Bucks from Strong Style Evolve. Ciampa versus Gargano, unsanctioned TakeOver New Orleans. Murphy versus Alexander for the Cruiserweight title on 205 Live. Okada versus Omega 4, 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit at Dominion. Mil Muertes, Phoenix, Jeremiah Crane, 3-way to the grave, Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 3. Ciampa versus Black, NXT title, NXT episode, July 25th.
8 matches for eight months.
I do have a bracket that I've already made up so that we can narrow it down to 3 finalists.
Oh,
so if we get to 12 or if we get to 16, there will be a bracket. So basically, December,
we can knock
stuff out.
Yeah.
Like the entire month of December will be us breaking down match of the year.
Yeah.
So,
fuck.
And
I still got 2 takeovers left.
Yes. Not just that.
And the climax finals.
Not even so that.
Jericho crew, the Jericho.
Oh, well, that's not going to be on TV.
All in.
Y'all are still too far.
Okay.
By next Wednesday, we could possibly be adding Omega versus Ibushi. the finals from the first block, the last match to determine the final, the finalists from the B block. Ooh. And that's before the finals of the G1 Climax.
Shit. Okay.
Love wrestling.
This year's been a good year.
It's been a really good year for wrestling.
Of
all the while, Brock Lesnar's the champion of the universe.
Right.
Everything.
You know, let him be the universe champ. Let him do that. Nobody likes that belt anyway.
But I will mention another statistic here that I've noticed.
Okay.
Not one match of the year is from Raw or SmackDown. It's NXT, Lucha Underground, New Japan.
Yeah,
No WWE pay-per-views.
No WWE pay-per-views. And
NXT, Joe AJ.
No, NXT, yeah, that's.
Yeah. Or are we put. Or I learned from you. I'm not doing Nakamura AJ anymore. I'm gonna let that shit simmer.
Let it
boil.
Be pleasantly surprised.
But nothing from WWE's main roster so far.
Wow.
We've had a couple almost, but their trend this year is a la 1998, where in every match was shenanigans. This is Attitude Era style. The cookie sheets were bam. You fucking know that's it. Ken Shamrock getting hit with with a fucking chair. Fucking bullshit ending some matches. Because you've had damn near fucking 4 to 5 star matches with Ziggles and fucking Rollins. My God, that was this close to being a match of the year candidate.
It was close. That was a really good match. That Iron Man match.
We're not at the prediction episode yet, but I'll just do a little appetizer here. Baszler versus Kairi Sane for NXT. Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss on Raw. The triple threat for SmackDown. Any chance that we get women on this list this year?
Ooh, man.
Maybe because of the pay-per-view.
There you go.
Evolution. Maybe.
I would like to think that there would be at some point.
Because remember, when we had 40 women's matches to choose from last year in the Mae Young Classic, not one of them got close. All solid matches.
The Mae Young Classic was cool.
It was quality over quantity.
But the Cruiserweight Classic was better than that.
But the Cruiserweight Classic, that's another level, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was a completely another level. I mean, but we'll see what this year's Mae Young Classic turns out. I mean, it might be pretty good, too.
I mean, some of the people coming back on it are coming out in general. But yeah, Evolution.
Cedric Alexander's wife was just announced as one of the wrestlers.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Huh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Madison Rayne.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of the newest girls.
DNA? The ugliest beautiful
Ashley
person.
Rayne. Yeah. Ashley Rayne.
She looks a little older.
But she looks good for her age, though.
She's currently feuding, or was currently feuding with Tessa.
She was in a title match at Slammiversary against the Undead Bride.
I think they dropped the ball, and with Tessa not being.
I think they learned from last year. They had enough recognizable names on the Cruiserweight Classic, and not enough from the Mae Young that they're adding more recognizable people. We've already got Caitlyn. We've got Io Shirai from Japan. We've already got Ashley Rayne, and I think there's a couple of more people that are Mercedes Martinez. I loved her.
If you didn't watch the UK NXT thing, Shayna Baszler defended against Toni Storm.
I loved her.
Boggles my mind that they didn't sign her because she was better than anybody on that fucking tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who all else is going to be on there, but I know that they've released more lists.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, that's cool because it's been a year later and we still got some girls that are just coming up from that. Dude, Dakota Kai is my shining star from there.
Oh, yeah.
But like, there's other girls that were in there that then they're dude. Deonna Purrazzo is going to be in it this year.
Yeah.
Do you think that anything Rousey does between now and December could maybe be match of the year worthy?
Maybe because in both matches that she's been in, they've both been like, this is good.
She gets the right dance partner.
I think her versus Alexa could be good, but I'm scared.
The problem
because they're both new. Alexa can handle her.
Alexa's not that new.
She's not that new, but she's not a fucking like. Charlotte. She's not a Sasha. She's not one of those like.
I think she's been wrestling just as long as Charlotte.
Not the longevity, the professionalism of it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
A lot of it does have to do with timing now that a lot of us are dipping our toes in other things. New Japan, Lucha Underground. Yeah. Hell, I'm even starting to watch Impact again.
They're making Impact great again.
Rousey's tag match at WrestleMania. could have been my match of the week pick if TakeOver didn't happen that same fucking weekend.
Yeah.
You know, there's other women's matches, fucking the treatment of Ronda versus Nia and the cash in of Alexa. That could have been match of the week if there wasn't – dude, just SummerSlam weekend. We got AJ versus fucking Joe. We have – interesting possibilities coming out of Roman and Brock. NXT We've got stuff. NXT TakeOver coming up also. It just depends. Do the stuff that we anticipate too much falls flat, or is it another situation like where I've come out several times this year so far saying even stuff that met my expectations at 11 didn't make match of the week because something that something exceeded expectations.
That's what happened.
So that's a lot of thing with the women timing here. That's why Evolution might be the best opportunity for a women's match to be on this pay-per-view.
That's what happened with me on WrestleMania weekend.
Nothing's going to compete with that.
The match of the week was the North American ladder match.
Right.
But I put to Ciampa versus Gargano as match of the year candidate, which didn't even, like, mathematically, it didn't make sense.
Right.
But that's the way it is.
Well, while we're on the subject of potential women putting on match of the year candidates, I have a hot take that had she not been injured, had we had a healthy Ruby Riott going up against Ronda Rousey, that probably could have been real good.
Yeah.
Like Battle of the R's.
Like next week, it could have been that.
Yeah.
Instead of Alicia Fox versus Ronda Rousey, you have Ruby Riott versus Ronda Rousey. So many R's. Yeah, you exist.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah. I think that's everything, man. Yeah, did we cover everything? It's 9:30. We got everything. Match of the years.
Holy shit.
It's going to be a fun second half of this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that being said, thank you so much for joining us. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.